Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We're going to talk about the World Series. There's some new basketball hirings going down in the NBA, of course. I'm sure we'll dabble in the NFL. And plus, the election is coming up next week, so why the hell not? We've talked about everything else on the Charity Stripe. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws, because they're free. So 286, coming hot at you guys. So 285, and I'm joined on this one by Alex Tosmirakisopoulos and Nikki Snacks Kreider. And we're recording in the studio, and there is somebody, like, sweeping, raking leaves off the roof outside. I have no idea what... You guys hear that?
Yeah, is that inside here?
I don't know. It's, like, wicked loud that someone's
no,
raking.
No, it's outside.
It's outside. I appreciate our gardeners. Do not get me wrong. I'm very grateful for the job they do.
It's an impossible task.
For sure.
They're basically clearing the forest of Mirkwood.
Yeah. We do live in a very...
Nick, do you get that one?
No.
Lush area.
Explain.
It's a J.R. Tolkien reference. J.R.R. Tolkien reference. It's a Lord of the Rings reference.
Lord of the Rings, yeah. But all that being said, they are the loudest gardeners in the history of the world. I feel like they have, like,
we really appreciate their service, apparently. From Josh.
I do. I appreciate everything they do for us. It's just wicked loud. I mean, we could all attest. They do everything at maximum volume. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I don't appreciate it, but it could be a little quiet. Mm-hmm. All that being said, we're pumped to be back. Another week of football coming up. Baseball and basketball are done. I feel like this is the first day that there's no sports. Am I crazy? Like, there's no major sports going on because basketball's burnt toast, as is baseball's of last night.
Yeah.
And football, it's Wednesday, so football's not on today.
Wednesday in late October, no sports.
It's weird. It was like a depressing day.
It's a weird
today.
Wednesday.
Yeah, it's a weird,
but
a wacky
on
Wednesday.
The on the heels of a of the MLB World Series ending, the Doyers won the World Series.
Yeah.
Which is two major sports now that the Los Angeles teams. The Los Angeles A teams have taken home the championships.
No, I think I wait. I think Nick. I made a bet on a website. I'm not even being jokey, trying to segue into our sponsor, but I think I actually made a futures bet on the Dodgers winning the World Series. So I have to possibly go and collect that.
Where would you go though?
I made it on Bet Online.
.ag.
.ag. I did.
.ag.
Ag. Yeah. .ag. I did.
So you went to. Prior to the MLB season starting or prior to the MLB playoffs.
Yeah.
You went to betonline.ag.
Which wasn't that long ago because the MLB season started in July.
Yes.
Correct. It was a quick one. Yeah. Just like the,
it was a quickie.
The NBA restart. We
two
can
pump
get
chump.
Yeah, I'm interested to kind of get into what both of you guys, how both of you guys feel about the legitimacy of these championships. But first, gotta plug our sponsor. We love our sponsor, betonline.ag. Go there, sign up, get your free sign up bonus, make all your bets on all the props, yeah. All the parlays, picks and parlays.
Yeah, for sure.
Shout out to Nick Gaber on World Soccer Radio. He just rebranded his show. Really nice. Excited about that. But go to betonline.ag and sign up today because they are your online sportsbook experts aside from Nicky Snacks Kreider.
Great.
Cool. So can we talk about this? Can we talk about the legitimacy of both championships?
Okay.
Nick, I overheard you on the phone saying that you have something to say about this. Needless to say.
Basketball, fine. Good with it. Better team won. Lakers.
But the
whatever,
best team
blah,
won
blah,
in
blah.
Baseball.
Okay, hold on. Best team won in baseball. But here's the thing. This season could have shaken out so differently because there's 100 less games. They're playing an extra round in the playoffs. And the Dodgers were pretty much handed this World Series.
How?
They play a losing record Brewers team in the first round. They play a Clevenger-less, Lamet-less Padres team in the second round. And the Braves blow a 3-1 lead.
Okay, so wait, they beat the Braves.
Okay, they beat
the
Braves.
Fair and square.
They
who
did.
Were the second best team, and the team that you picked at the beginning of the year to win the World Series. So that's
I picked
a legitimate
the Twins.
One.
I picked the Twins.
Or the, you picked them to be there, sorry. The Rays won the AL, so they were the number one team in the AL. And injuries happen all the time, regardless of how long or short the season
regardless,
is.
Regardless, though, there's 100 less games in the season.
You don't. Do we all really think that the Dodgers
they
would have
been the best team
been
in
there.
The MLB either way?
Either way. The Rays were also...
I'm not going to say they would have won the World Series, but they definitely would have been.
No, they would have been. I think they would have been in the mix.
Winner, chicken dinner.
Look,
every team had a fair shake.
Obviously, they had the best record. They had the best record last year.
Yeah.
They're the scariest team lineup-wise. I just hate the Dodgers.
Yeah,
I think
sucks,
there we go.
Dude.
That's
there
okay to say.
That's okay. You're allowed to hate a team. You don't need to love everybody.
They're your divisional rival, as you should.
It'd but be I normal also, to hate. Them. I also just think that 60 games isn't enough for baseball.
No, everyone's in agreement in that. That's for sure. That all that being said,
I think
you don't
it's
have much of a choice.
To me, they're both legitimate championships. You have as much eases in the path that there were as many adversities.
Yeah,
on both
totally.
Sides.
I mean, everyone had the same opportunity and was given the same schedule. Dodgers dominated through and through. Their lineup was tenacious. Guys came, like Seager fully came back this year. He's like a top three, four shortstop in the league. Legitimate three hitter, two hitter. Mookie is, I would say, the second best player in baseball. He's officially ahead of Arenado for me.
Look, he's the second best player in baseball, but like, he's the like clutchest I've seen.
I also think that
he's
a lot
so
of
clutch.
Fans in baseball hate the Red Sox for making this trade.
Yeah, dumb as dirt.
Not
they
just
should
Red
be,
Sox fans.
They should be kicking themselves.
Not just
the,
Red Sox fans.
It's the dumbest trade. If you were
it's because you're cheap.
If you're and why? I mean, we how many times do I have to say this? If you're the Red Sox and there's I mean, look, Verdugo was good. Hopefully Jeter Downs can be good. They're not going to be Mookie Betts. They're not going to be top 25 players, let alone top 5 players in baseball. This guy took this team, a team that was on the verge of championship, could never get it done. They got bounced in the first round by the eventual championship Nationals last year. They completely blew it against them. He takes them, and he adds that championship caliber. He just automatically injects it. He's not only an unbelievable fielder, one of the best arms in right field in baseball, especially for his stature. The guy is also the best leadoff hitter in baseball. He's an unbelievable base runner. He can just do it all.
He's a fantastic.
So when you
base
have
runner.
That guy leading off, I mean, you saw it with the Padres.
Free tacos today. I didn't get it yet.
Yeah, you saw it with the Padres though. It's not even like what Tatis can do individually. Just having him at the top of the order is a game changer.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you let him on. You know, if he's the leadoff batter and you let him on, like that's already in the pitcher's head. You know, like oh shit, I got Tatis on base. Oh shit, I got Mookie on base.
He's the
and
first
then he steals
guy,
a base.
Yeah,
maybe he steals a second base.
Right.
He's the first guy you have to face. You face him most. And automatically, that sets everything up because you have to pitch around him. It sets up the guys behind him.
I'm
it's
not
just huge.
That. No, I'm not.
I mean, that
I
trade
just,
is
going to
go down.
I just hate, I don't know if I hate the Red Sox or the Dodgers more for that trade.
I mean, what do you? If you're the Dodgers, what are you going to say? No?
Of course not. But I'm just saying, like, come on. Why are you being so damn cheap, Red Sox? Like, pay the man.
If you're not going to pay him, who are you ever going to pay? And
that's
you're
the guy you
like,
pay.
You're acting like you're the Rays.
Yeah.
You're the Red Sox. If you are not going to pay him, you can't rationalize paying anybody else.
No, never.
ever at any point. The guy's unbelievable.
Because he's the second best baseball player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's so fantastic.
Well, on other notes. Well,
just that baseball. Game, though. That game. Managers are so important in baseball. I'm glad. I think Dave Roberts is a great manager. I'm glad he got his. Mm-hmm. Kevin Cashman, he just. Look, Snell is one of the most clutch pitchers.
Nice. He's a Cy Young winner.
But even just in important games, yeah, he always delivers. And yes, there was a guy on first and Mookie was up and he had pitched six innings already, but that's just so risky and it did not pay off. It was a huge mistake. We talk about how good of a base runner Mookie is. Mookie got on base that from third to home on the hit, not even hit. It didn't even get past the base to the first baseman and he made it home. Unbelievable base running.
Kevin Cash needs to be fired.
No.
And literally,
oh, come on.
Put in the janitor closet of Magic Mike's strip club.
Nick, that is blasphemous.
That was the worst fucking managerial move I've ever
seen. But he put in Nick Anderson, who's had, look, okay. Let me defend it. Okay.
Blake Snell had thrown 73 pitches, 70 something, yes. Whatever. He's in the 70s, okay? Pitchers are supposed to go 90. They can go 100. This is the World Series. He's not going to throw again in the calendar.
This is the World Series in a must-win game.
The Dodgers had mustered up two hits against him.
Yes.
No runs. And batters 1, 2, and 3, who were coming up, were 0 for 6 with 6 strikeouts.
Yes.
Against Blake Snell.
Yes.
And you pull him because he gives up one hit to Austin Barnes.
They didn't pull. Okay. They didn't pull. Look, I am with you. It was a dumb move. And this is the team that got to where they are based on A, pitching, but also B, based on they invented the bullpen game, and he's at the forefront of that. He managed an unbelievable season.
I think he didn't manage this game like an elimination game, though, and he managed it thinking that they were going to win this game and take it to 7, and you can't do that.
Well, Blake Snell is a lefty pitcher. Mookie is the best right-hander hitter
But then after that, you have Corey Seager, who's left-handed.
Yes. He made the strategic play to pitch Nick Anderson. I'm just saying his rationale is not, he gave up a hit. His rationale is, we have Nick Anderson, who was completely lights out for us this season as a righty, and give me that righty-righty versus he struck out Mookie twice.
He wasn't amazing in the playoffs. Nick Anderson wasn't
He wasn't Snell. Amazing, but he was amazing throughout the year.
Look at how long they let Tyler Glasnow go. Glasnow lets up 4 runs and goes 115 pitches.
Well, Glasnow started pitching better. He started horribly. They use the bullpen heavily. So you got to pick and choose your spots. Do I think he went to the bullpen too early? Absolutely. You have a guy who's pitching as hot as anybody.
Cy Young Award winner.
Very bad call.
You're paying the guy $50 million a year.
They went with analytics. They took the analytical approach.
And sometimes
and
you
got to
throw that out the window.
100%.
I think we've already talked about this before. It's over 162 games. The analytics will win.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's not.
It's a 7-game series. Yeah. 7-game series. And really, it's just one game. Right? It's one game.
I mean, you see it. You pitch your best pitcher. If you want to win the World Series, if that's what you're going in to do, you pitch your best pitcher as much as he can until his arm falls off.
I agree.
Bumgarner, Kluber, that's how you win. I mean, the Indians didn't win, but Kluber pretty much took him as far as he could go.
Whenever he was on
Arrieta was on the Cubs. I mean, you got to throw your best guy in there as much as he can pitch. And they pulled Snell too early, clearly. And that stunk, but I'm just reasoning why he did it.
Sure, if it works, he looks like a genius. If it doesn't work and they lose the World Series.
Yeah, he wasn't going to pitch the whole game.
It's a high risk, high reward kind of
choice. What was the final score of the game?
3-1.
You expect to win an elimination game scoring one run?
I agree. I mean, they definitely need to hit more, but I mean, there was no runs.
The Dodgers won in that inning.
They won in that inning, but then Mookie took another one, and they ended up winning 3-1. And the Dodgers didn't hit exceptionally well, but you are the Rays, and you're playing for your life, for your season. The bats got to show up, too.
They didn't really show up.
And on the opposite side.
Game,
the opposite
one game that really they showed up.
Right. And on the opposite side, the Dodgers bullpen was lights out at the end
of
that game.
Which is also crazy that, Randy Arozarena, right, hits 10 postseason home runs. But he only had 14 RBIs. He was hitting him with no one on base every single time.
Yeah.
The guys don't get on base.
He had 14 RBIs when he finished
with? I think 14
with?
Or 15. I don't know.
That's crazy.
He set a record.
Randy Arozarena, I mean, he hit 10 home runs in the postseason.
They're making a movie.
They're making a movie
about his
about
life.
Him.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know his full story yet, but you know.
But you will when you watch the movie.
I watched the movie. He was trade. He was a trade.
The Cardinals traded him. And he wasn't even the headline. It was the Jose Martinez trade.
Liberatore trade, yeah. That was like, there. Listen, I'm not ready to crown this guy the next big thing.
I think a lot of people are skeptical. I've just been seeing on Twitter and just from talking to friends. Oh, sure. They're not sold on him because they've never heard of him. But I don't know. I mean, he did it against some pretty amazing players.
Hey,
I mean, he did it against the Yankees with Cole.
Yeah.
And you know, that entire rotation that they have there in their bullpen, did it against the Dodgers with Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw. Josh,
I was getting a phone call.
Popular guy.
Yeah, popular guy.
It's Randy Arozarena. He wants to say what up.
He wants to say what up.
He says, I ain't no slouch.
Here's the thing, though. But that happens all the time with players in the sense. I'm sure you can remember our third baseman on the Padres who had like 30-something home runs, 110 RBIs.
Chase Headley.
There we go. And
he was an all-star.
And then what did he do after that?
Actually, he wasn't an all-star. No, he was not an all-star.
Morgan.
He got snubbed, and then he had a really good second half, and then we traded him to the Yankees
for young
Jervis Solarte, who ended up being my favorite player for a little bit.
That's so sad. That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
He was fun.
Yeah, he's fun. He's a utility guy. But yeah, guys are flash in the pan all the time. I need to see him in a full season, see how he adjusts in a second half.
But like he reminds me a lot of Mookie in a sense of the way he runs bases, the way he swings
aggressive.
The bat. He's aggressive, right?
Clutch.
He has the tools to do it.
Yeah.
It's
no.
not like he's like this, you know, one-hit wonder guy who Brett Phillips in the ninth inning.
No. He's not that. Brett, that's like a one-hit, literally one-hit
exactly,
wonder.
Exactly.
This guy torched everyone throughout the entire postseason. We just have to see how he adjusts and what pitchers find on
him. Well, you saw that when they, I think it was Mark Floro who's pitching against him. They were saying like the one pitch he hasn't been able to hit very well was the changeup, and Floro just pounded three straight changeups bottom corner of the zone inside. And he couldn't touch any of them. Like three strikes.
So there you go. So now.
It's three strikes and you're out.
That's how you play baseball. Can he adjust to that? Now, another big story. Obviously, I love Kershaw, so I was happy to see him get one. Obviously, happy to see him
running out of the pen. That was great.
You blew it not saying what up to Met Starbucks.
What?
He was with his kid, right?
His kid.
You could have just said, yo, Kersh, what's up, bro?
No, I know I could have, but it was like. Think about it. We've seen athletes all the time.
She said,
talk to athletes all the time.
He's committed to A&M, I think.
Yeah. Then if I knew that, I would have said that. We see athletes all the time. And
you should have said Highland Park represents Scotty Pride.
Matty Stafford. There's so many ridiculous Matt Stafford stories I've heard. But I didn't want to. He was with this kid. He knew. He saw that I realized it was him. And I could see in his eyes.
He started to cry.
He's basically pleading, like, please don't say anything. It was a
pact. Did you do like a.
I looked at him. I froze. I was like, oh my God. I literally said, like, mouth, oh my God, to myself, because he's right in front of me. He turns, sees me. He's holding his daughter. He's like, he gives me a look, like, please, dude.
No, you should have done that. Oh my God. And he goes, what? Clayton Kershaw started in front of you? No, I just saved 15% or more on car insurance by switching to Geico.
Hit him with that. I was
not a sponsor.
I was not a sponsor. I was too blown away. But I'm happy he got one. A big thing last night was Justin Turner test positive.
Mid-game.
The test come back, which I don't even know how that's a thing.
Did they let him play without having a test result? Yeah.
That's beyond me. Aside from that, he leaves the game because he can't play, but then he comes
MIA
back.
MIA the entire game until the end. No one knows why he left the game.
But we knew before they won.
We knew at the very end of the game when like someone tweeted it. I think it was like Jeff Passan or something.
Test positive
for COVID-19, had to be removed from the game.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's so sad. He can't celebrate with his team. Well, he's out there on the field with his team.
They told him
not to go out there. He's sitting right next to Dave Roberts in front of a World Series trophy celebrating, potentially infecting his entire team, his entire team's family who's on the field, the officials that work for Major League Baseball that are on the field, his teammates, of course.
How do you feel about that?
That's awful. Like, you're supposed to set an example. Like, you're irresponsible
for the not only him but also the people that are like
the family, like there's
no even like the medical staff who's like administering the test, telling him the results. Like, is he not even being communicated with? Did they know and he didn't know? Like, what's going on?
No, he knew.
It's just,
and I think
it's irresponsible of him and of
like, I get it. It's a moment that you'll never forget. You won the World Series.
You may never get it again because he's a free agent. He may be gone.
But you can't jeopardize your other teammates, the guys that got you there. It wasn't just you. It was all of you.
Well, the thing is, I imagine that the teammates didn't
care. Great.
They were just like, screw it. Come on.
No one's thinking. Yeah, I'm sure like he was iffy on and the teammates brought him out. They're like, screw this kind of deal. But again, it's you're putting more than just your teammates, and your coaches are a lot of these coaches are older. Up there. Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Hopefully no one else is positive and it's okay. And it, you know, we're just talking about it for no reason. He almost went yard, which
he had a good,
which would have been crazy. Because then people would have been like, he
smoked that ball.
He was positive, but he hit a bomb.
Yeah. He comes in when he needs to. He's usually really great. But that was big news. Do we think the Dodgers are going to repeat again?
No.
Nick.
The Padres are going to knock him off?
So the Dodgers are, I think, they're the favorites. I think they're like 7-1 or something, or 6-1 favorites.
Yeah.
Yankees are like 13-2. Padres are 8-1 favorites.
So they're third?
We're the third. BetOnline.ag put that out today.
Wow. Yeah. Nice.
Yep.
Do you remember who was fourth?
What I want to say the Rays.
The Rays.
The Braves or the Braves the in there?
Rays or the Braves. One of the two.
White Sox, I'm sure.
One of the two. So but Padres were third.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that? Like, I feel like, wouldn't you rather be a little bit of an underdog still?
No, I think the underdog
games
are over.
I know, but I know you're going to hammer that bet anyway. So it's like, wouldn't you want it? Yeah.
I might throw like $100 on it to an 800.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, it's a healthy team going forward, and I don't think we need to be underdogs anymore. I think it's got to be the story like, dude, let's fucking be the powerhouse.
Right.
And let's dethrone the Dodgers. You said last night, you're like, now you know who you got to take, you know, from the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dodgers.
And you were close. You guys were right there. Close, you're in the mix.
I mean,
and
without some injuries, I mean, maybe we're there.
I'm excited to kind of see that two-headed race in that division next year. A lot of pop on both those sides. Just fun baseball to watch. Really entertaining. A lot of guys who love playing the game, too.
Yeah.
As a fan, like as a baseball fan, it's fun to watch both those teams play.
I also think that in that playoff series, the second round, the Dodgers versus the Padres in the playoffs this season, there was kind of like a spark of a new rivalry that kind of like emerged, right? Where people were like, okay, like there's a rivalry because they're in the same division. They
right, yeah. Against always been rivals. Yeah.
But I think there's a kind of a new spark that people were starting to realize.
Well, you guys are playing with a higher level of competency than you have ever played with.
Also, just like tempers were, you know, flaring a little bit higher than normal. I mean, when Gratterwall kind of like was like kissing Manny Machado goodbye, and like people were like throwing shit, and like Max Muncy was like yelling from his dugout, like, fuck you, go back home or something. And like when Cody Bellinger robbed Tatis, like shit like that, that like just fuels you for the next season. And I think, you know, the Padres definitely play with the chip on their shoulder, being the younger brothers of the young fathers of Southern California.
Yeah.
You know, with a lot to prove. And obviously, you know, guys, you know, get robbed of awards as well. Like Tatis got robbed of being a finalist with the Gold Glove. Like, that's bullshit. He was number one in all of baseball at every position in defensive runs saved.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he got completely robbed. But, you know, Manny Machado gets a Gold Glove nomination. Trent Grisham gets one. We'll see what happens with the MVP. I really think that's probably going to be Freddie Freeman still. But
should be. I think the Braves, if you're the Braves, you have to look at Trevor Bauer. And
I think everyone needs to look at Trevor Bauer. It's a one-year rental. He's taking a one-year deal somewhere.
You think so?
I think it's 60% he takes a one-year deal. What? Unless someone floors him with a huge deal.
I would take whatever
his agent. His agent tweeted out like last month. He's like, we're looking at both deals, one-year deals and long-term deals.
So a one-year deal with a team that's ready,
contending.
Yeah.
You look at the Braves, risky. You look at the Padres, you look at the Yankees, you look maybe the Red Sox.
No way.
No.
No, the Red Sox. We didn't pay Mookie Betts. We're gonna all of a sudden now we're gonna win.
No.
If you're the Mets. First of all, de Blasio is trying to cancel. I don't even know how the mayor of New York can cancel the sale of a baseball team, but he's trying to squash that. So either the cheap-ass Wilpons are still going to be the owners, or Stephen Cohn's going to be owner. And if Stephen Cohn's the owner, they're going to have to make moves.
I can see Giants long-term, just because like they were better than people expected.
They have the cash. They do. Kind of dance.
But I mean,
they got my boy. He's Stramski, baby.
Padres definitely will be in the mix. They're always in the mix for everybody.
Yeah. I'm curious. It could be like... I'm curious to see who steps up on the Dodgers. The AL should be interesting. Springer is also a free agent. I think things have soured. I think he wants out of Houston.
Every hitter on that team wants out of Houston.
They don't say it,
but it's like they want to get out. They want to take that stigma off their back.
Totally. Wouldn't you? Yeah, I want to get the fuck out of there.
Of course. You're the most hated team in baseball.
I still think the Dodgers, by the way, are going to win, though, again. I think so. Everyone's coming back minus Turner. You got Bellinger coming back. You got Betts coming back. You got Seager coming back. Kershaw and Bueller. And Urias, who was dominant.
He was electric.
He was great. Yeah. Great. I'm not a big fan because he beats women.
Not good. Not good at all. We're not fans of that, obviously.
We are not fans of that.
But play is very good.
Okay. Well, let's take it to basketball then. We talked about
big signings.
We talked about changing ownership.
Yeah.
The Utah Jazz have new owners, which is interesting.
40-year-old owner.
It's crazy.
Ryan Smith.
It's crazy.
I've never even heard of that company, Qualtrics.
No. I have. I don't know.
It sounds like I've heard of it.
It's a communications company?
Nah, it's like a tech company. Is that a tech company?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's like a communications, yeah.
New owner of the Jazz, but the NBA's got a cap, and the man in charge of a cap, and now Philly, is Daryl Morey.
I like it. I like what they've done.
He's a shooter.
They've replaced their coach.
Yeah.
They still have their GM in Elton Brand.
Yeah.
Who is very well liked. I think he's a great basketball mind. And now you bring in Daryl Morey, who is exciting at the least. You can't look at I think like his reputation is a little bit tarnished by the sour taste that the Rockets have left in everyone's mouth the last four years. But look what Morey did for the Rockets. That was a competitive team every single year, top four in the West. He's a great businessman. I think he's very smart.
Thing was dumb.
I think that if anyone needed this kind of drastic change, it was the 76ers.
Will Brown was not a good enough head coach.
Is there going to be some big moves made then?
Always, man. That's where they brought him in because they gave Tobias Harris a bad contract
and Al Horford.
So there's no one that clears house and still keeps a competitive roster like Morey does. He automatically always finds a way to do it.
You just think no one's safe on that roster, right? No one's untouchable.
No one's untouchable.
No. Really?
I don't think he gives a shit.
You think Simmons and Embiid are now touchable? Anyone can move for
them. I think one of them were touchable.
I think Simmons is untouchable.
I think Embiid's more touchable than Simmons.
I want to see them play. I want to see them play together.
Such a funny word.
Yeah.
Simmons and Embiid?
I want to see them play together with good shooters around them.
They don't play that well together, though. How can you when you have a guy who's going to clog the paint and a big like that and a guy who needs to attack the basket? It's two like twin towers. The good thing about Anthony Davis is Anthony Davis, if LeBron wants to play bully ball and take it to the rack, Anthony Davis can hit threes. He can hit threes at a great clip.
Ben Simmons has a problem. Your primary ball handler needs to be able to hit a three.
I heard someone talk about this, though.
It's very
And they
simple.
Were like, great. If he can shoot and he doesn't have to shoot well, maybe that keeps defenses in check. But at the end of the game with 2 minutes left, Giannis got significantly better at shooting threes this year. But at the end of the game with 2 minutes left, what do you want? You want Giannis to take three. Your defensive game plan at the end of games is still the same, even if he hit two threes earlier in the game.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a difference. So even if Ben Simmons is a decent three-point shooter, I don't think it changes much.
They didn't even have anybody.
For closing out.
Al Horford was like their three guy. Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, what, Shake Milton and Furkan Korkmaz and
Josh Richardson.
Tobias Harris, none of them are actually good three-point shooters.
Shake's good.
He's fine. He's fine.
Was he in the three-point contest?
No.
Never?
No.
I was thinking of my 2K league.
He came, Shake Milton. Shake Milton came on late. That's
quote of the day. That's awesome. Yeah, listen, even if you try to force Giannis to take a three, you could kick it out to Middleton. Brook Lopez could bang a three with the best of the bigs. So they still have options. The 76ers do not.
Yeah, well,
have
so
that.
Danny Green's supposed to hit threes, and he didn't hit him when he was supposed to.
Ooh. Yeah, but at least he's somewhat of a threat. You can't leave him open, though.
All I'm saying is, well, you would rather have at the end of the game, you would rather have your best players take those shots.
Yeah.
Look what the Lakers did, and Anthony Davis hits that shot. LeBron hits that shot against the Clippers, where he gets his own rebound. First shot was bad, but he still got his own rebound, put it in.
When was the last time like, Duncan was, like, the best player where you're, was the big, but he still had Parker and Ginobili. Dirk, I don't really count because Dirk is an all-time shooter.
Yeah.
Like, the last time where, like, I could really remember where the bigs were the best player on the court and they didn't really have that extra, was, like, when Robinson and Duncan won it.
It took guys that were top 10 players of all time, or Dirk, who's a top 25 player of all time and the best big shooting big man of all time. Shaquille O'Neal and Tim Duncan are the only other teams really where they were the best player on their team.
But yeah. Shaq had Kobe.
He had Kobe Bryant
and
D-Wade.
And D-Wade at a point. When both of them Well, D Wade won the Finals MVP.
Yeah, I would say I would say Shaq for the first Finals that they won together was the best player.
Dwight Howard almost did it, almost.
But he,
they got waxed in that.
He was the best player on that team by far,
for sure.
Well, KG was the best player on the Celtics, but he had Paul Pierce around. And the thing about the Magic, they also had Hedo, they had Rashard Lewis, and they had Jameer. They had guys that around Dwight that can shoot.
Yeah, but you look at the comparison between the Celtics and the Magic, and was Dwight better than KG at that point? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But was Paul Pierce better than Hedo Turkoglu? Absolutely. Was Ray Allen better than Rashard Lewis? For sure. Was Rondo better than Jameer Nelson?
Guys are hurt.
Leaps and bounds.
It was a bad series. It was like, that was a wash of a series. They and the Celtics were back.
Who was the best player on that Pistons team that beat the Lakers?
That was just
dude, but that was the best team basketball. No, but like you had Rip Hamilton, who's the most underrated player.
Who was the best player on that team?
Billups.
Probably Chauncey.
Probably Billups. So,
but like in a Kyle Lowry type of way, where he was like, he didn't have to go get 25. You know,
Chauncey got hired by the Nets, right?
He's their assistant coach.
Steve Nash.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Somebody else got hired today too. I forget who it was.
Well, we've got Nick Nurse's protege who's in Indiana now.
Steven Silas, the protege Rick Carlisle, is now. He's now
where is he?
Houston head coach.
Okay. Interesting.
So that happened today.
A lot of new head coaching hires.
Any more vacancies? Great.
I don't think so.
I think we're done. I believe we're done.
Pelicans hired Van Gundy.
What?
What's my problem?
What's your problem with it?
At what point are we going to realize that the recycling of head coaches doesn't work? I don't think. We just cycle through the same guys over and over again. And try.
You feel like it's going to be it's basically a Mike McCarthy hire.
For sure. For sure. It's a young team that he cannot relate to. I just don't think that works.
I disagree. I'm not saying that he's going to be a good head coach. I think he is a very relatable basketball mind. I think people know him because he's been in broadcasting. People are always talking to him. Like, he's a guy that's
the
around.
Worst Van Gundy.
He's a guy that's around. The thing about Mike McCarthy was in a cabin in the woods, Bon Iver style, for like a year, quote unquote, studying analytics.
Mike McCarthy should never have been hired. He was not in it and talking with people. He shouldn't have a job right now. Van Gundy.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing. I think that I was just comparing because I think like you see it that way right now, and I'm interested to see if it plays out like that.
Was he good in Detroit or did he suck?
He was good at the beginning.
Then he sucked and got fired.
Detroit is a similar type of market to the Pelicans. Zion Williamson signed off on it. You are the future of the franchise. If you have something to say, say it. I know you're young. I know you don't feel like you have a lot of voice, but you do. You have such a big voice.
They asked them, like, hey, can we hire this guy?
Reports came out that he signed off on it.
Billups is joining.
That's so crazy.
Billups is joining the Clippers.
He's 20 years old.
Billups is behind Lou on the Clippers. That's right.
He's 20 years old, and he's signing off on head coach.
Vaughn is behind Nash in Brooklyn.
Vaughn?
Jacques Vaughn.
Oh, yeah.
Stepped in, and everyone loved him, and he did a fantastic job. Which I like. I like both of those assistant coaches in both of those scenarios.
I was thinking of Chauncey for the Clippers. You're right.
Why? What was wrong with hiring Jacques Vaughn if you're the Pelicans?
I don't know.
Yeah, a little Creole. Jacques.
Yeah.
New Orleans.
Nick. Very cultured of you, I guess. But that was like the basketball news.
We'll see. There's that sick video of Van Gundy with nasty handles. He's huge, dude. What do you mean? Funny. He's actually got like nice handles. It reminds me of
He's a basketball mind.
That doesn't matter. You think there's so many coaches who can't handle the rock, who can't even play basketball. There's a lot of head coaches. I mean, more and more we're seeing guys that actually could play, like Nash and like Billups, like we're just talking about. Tyronn Lue is their head coach. Nick, what do you think about that? He's more of a puppet than.
Yeah, it's a meh.
It's just a puppet play.
He couldn't even handle it. Give me a guy. Why do I like Spoelstra so much? Because after LeBron left, that franchise really didn't miss a beat, dude. He was legit, and that's where he proved it. As soon as LeBron left, Tyronn Lue crumbled.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely
cookie cake.
He definitely the players always love Ty Lue. They always have good things to say about him. I don't think he's a great X's and O's guy. No. I don't think.
But do you need to be with that team? You just need a point guard. They need a point guard for the love of God.
It's not Reggie Jackson.
No, it's not Reggie Jackson. Do you guys like cookie cake? By the way,
love cookie cake.
Really?
Great American Cookie. You go to the mall, hit it up. Great American Cookies,
okay.
Good stuff.
It's okay.
I would put it as a bottom tier dessert.
What's your bottom three desserts?
This is the Jell-O.
You don't like Jell-O?
Like Jell-O. Jell-O, like red Jell-O, blue Jell-O, green Jell-O, like Luby's.
What about
that's on the tray?
What about a Badino?
What's a Badino?
Nick and I, when we worked at the John and Vinny's Italian restaurant, when we worked there, there's one dessert on the menu,
Budino,
and I've never even had it.
Everyone asked what it was.
Everyone always asks, like, "Ooh, what's the Budino?" And we and Josh look at each other, like, "Josh, come here." She asked what the Budino is, and he goes, "Slouch."
And why would go back and just start serving it? It was like the worst.
It's literally like it's pudding with like caramel.
It probably tastes good.
It's yeah, but like you're gonna pay like $8 for a chocolate pudding.
That's and
like,
listen, that comes I don't like know. A, people I pay for the soft serve, and like that's good.
That's,
but like
that's dank though.
It's like
but it's soft serve.
It's fun. The presentation was cool. It's the only
it's in
thing.
Like a cake cone.
I listen.
It's just
so
underwhelming.
I love those guys. And I love that place. And I love every present. The presentation they have on everything is 10 out of 10, except for that one dish, and it just freaks.
I will say.
It comes in a cup.
It's such a like. From an efficiency standpoint,
like a layer of olive oil.
From an efficiency standpoint,
yeah,
the cone, the like ice cream cone, is terrible because you bring it over in a little cake cone. It is piled high, which you appreciate because you want as much ice cream as
it's a cup. It's a paper cup that we would give you.
Yeah,
but like the it's so high. Yeah. But it's so tall that like it's gonna drip on the table. It's gonna drip all over the table, and then that's just
we'll clean it up for you.
That's just extra work for you. My road dogs were serving there. I don't want them to have to clean up after me. I never want them to have to clean up after me.
I'm wiping the table regardless.
Yeah, I didn't mind that as much. I mind one time.
What if I coned you guys?
That would have been awesome.
Go wash your hands.
That would have been awesome. I would have cried laughing. I was all for that shit. No one pranked me enough, the customers.
We worked at a very high-end Italian restaurant in Los Angeles, but it wasn't fancy. It was a lot of good vibes. We really did whatever the fuck we wanted. And
yeah.
It was fun.
It was fun.
I think that's kind of the aesthetic of going to that restaurant.
That's why
it's
I
like
quit.
Your server will jive with you and like we'll have fun and throw on some nasty rap music.
Okay, okay, so bottom three desserts.
Okay, Jell-O stinks.
Budino.
Now, Jell-O actually legitimately stinks. If that's like the main dessert that someone's offering at their house, this is a sign of a horrible
thing. What about Jell-O with whipped cream?
I'm not, whatever. I'm like not into like, I really think, and this is just coming from a perspective of like, okay, you are inviting me over to your house for a get-together. You've made dinner, thanks. And,
and have Jell-O.
Give me a fucking...
This is very reminiscent of your appreciation for the guys outside that do our gardening.
I appreciate the gardeners. I do. It's just fucking wicked loud.
All right, number three. Let's get it.
Number three, I don't like the boxed, like the prepackaged boxed cookies and cakes from like Vons.
Like old grandma cookies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I'd get the hell out of here with like that. I'm like...
Cool.
I'm not a huge donut guy, unless it's from like a donut, like one of those like new fun donut shops, like one of these bullshit Dunkin' Donuts,
like artisanal donuts.
Yes,
yeah,
those are great.
Yeah, but a bullshit Dunkin' Donuts can ligma.
Okay,
twice.
Cool. Wow, bread pudding. Sometimes bread pudding's really really good, but the majority of times I don't think it's very good, and okay. I don't like it.
I'm with you, and I like
bread pudding.
Yeah, flan. I think is
it's a good pick.
Pretty meh. Not a big caramel guy.
Flan's
not a big
French
custard
Jell-O.
Guy. Flan is not French.
What?
It's Spanish.
Italian. Really?
Oh, that was diet.
We're all over the place.
We're not.
And then
Europe. It's okay.
I'm like, I like. I'm not like. I don't like normal cheesecake. I like. Sometimes it's really good, but a lot of times it's not great.
I like cheesecake.
I don't like carrot cake. Boom. All right. See ya.
Carrot cake. Yeah. Carrot cake's not great. Italian cream cake. I don't like shredded coconut. So anything with shredded coconut in it, it's a consistency thing. It's not my favorite.
It's a little tough in the throat. Okay.
Which is not good for podcasting, which of course, that's why I don't like it.
Okay. Let's play a quick game before we wrap it up.
I want to talk one thing about Khabib.
Oh, we did. You missed the Khabib.
I missed that.
No, say your piece on Khabib, please.
I think he's the greatest pound-for-pound fighter UFC's ever seen. I know John Jones is great.
I think he's the second.
I think John Jones is great, but Khabib's never lost. Held the title all the way through.
Best ground game guy, for
best
sure.
Best ground game, super dominant. There was always, like, never fear in my mind that he was ever going to lose the fight.
Yeah.
And all-around good guy.
Yeah, great.
Like, just so likable and, like, so respectful and, like, never too showy. And best wishes to that guy.
Very nice.
Yeah, Josh mentioned when we talked about him, just like his solemn promise to not come back to the sport, that he would keep it.
It's awesome. I watched it next to Nick. I'm like, he's not coming. We both are like, this guy's keeping his word.
His ground pound is potentially better than Bowser and Yoshi's.
He's smashed.
Quick little game. Sorry that I.
No. Please. I wanted you to say your piece, man, for sure. Quick little game. The election's coming up.
Yes.
First of all, who do you think's gonna win?
Well, first off,
we're not gonna play that.
First off, okay, Nick, we don't need to get like. We don't need to...
No predictions?
No predictions.
Get our politics out there.
It's true.
Everyone should vote.
Yeah.
If they're of age, exercise your right. Do it. Exercise in general. Get out there. NFL 60. I'm going to start mentioning that in every single show.
Pull box.
Parker, let's get that NFL 60 clip. Let's get it back going. Thank you.
Thank you, Parker.
Thank you, Parker.
The GOAT, honestly. She really is.
Yeah.
The,
Tom Brady, LeBron James, Parker Fenton.
Yeah.
Randy Rosarena.
Yeah. Let's play a game.
Khabib.
Okay, we'll go sport by. We'll go. Do you guys want to do one sport, or can we do whatever sport?
Do whatever sport you want. Dude.
Perfect. Home run derby. Who do you think wins? In a combined home run derby.
Oh wow.
Pence and Trump, Harris and Biden.
Obviously, Pence and Trump.
Yeah, I mean, I think like
they're much bigger.
Trump's he's a like wide dude.
Okay.
And I think he's got some Prince Fielder pop to him.
I think Mike Pence can swing it.
You think so?
I think he can swing.
You don't think Kamala could throw the lumber around?
Nah.
I think she's out hitting Joe, honestly.
So that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I think Biden comes in last in a home run derby.
Definitely. Unfortunately. Yeah.
All right. What do you want to throw out, Nick?
Who wins in a UFC match?
Okay. Now you're getting physical. That's intense, Nick.
Why not?
What?
It's a sport. It's
in
a sport.
Fight between the in a brawl?
Donald Trump or Joe Biden?
Oh. I think
draw.
I think Trump takes him.
Yeah.
Obviously. He's just a bigger. I think Joe looks like
his experience. Yeah, his experience does not help him in the octagon.
All right, who's an icier three-point shooter?
I think I'm going to go Biden.
I think Biden.
You had a great point on it.
Yeah, well, Barrio is obviously a well-known lover of basketball. He always used to do the March Madness like breakdown.
Yeah. Braxton Berrios?
Not Braxton Berrios. Barrio.
Oh,
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama. Lover of basketball. And I think that he plays all the time. And I know that just with Biden being around him, being with him, he definitely
shot a couple.
He definitely has
some sort of a jumper.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I watched Trump shooting hoops. I will say, though, I have definitely seen Bernie Sanders shooting hoops. I've seen a video of that.
Good or bad?
He was low-key, like, pretty good. Bro, he was, like, he was sneaky good. He was sneaky good like Stan Van Gundy.
Jews can handle the rock.
Yeah, I guess.
Lil Wayne has a rap verse with Stan Van Gundy reference. So you know, like, he's going to have a good career in New Orleans. Because Lil Wayne, why do you, look at that.
Hey, that's a good point.
Thank you.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
That's a good point. What do you, a sport you want to throw out, toss for our presidential candidates or vice presidential candidates?
What about a sport that they potentially could actually play?
Yeah.
Tennis against each other. Doubles, tennis, Trump and Pence versus Kamala and Biden.
I'm
just not confident in Biden to move.
I'm not confident.
But Trump's, he's going to be wild with his swings. Yes. He's going to be all over the place.
I think Kamala is definitely the edge there because she's the youngest and most sprite.
Yes.
And I feel like he looks laterally unstable. I think edge to edge.
It doesn't help that we've only like ever seen them all in like suits.
We have Pence doesn't, he looks unimaginative as a person. And he looks like he's not willing to lay it all on the line and take risks and try new things. To me,
that reference to?
That sounds like an unsound doubles partner.
I really think that Trump is just going to throw some wild swings in there.
Okay.
And he's going to airmail some. Like if one of us were to go play tennis and like we'd really wind up and swing some. Sometimes I'm definitely thinking Nick would, because Nick's like the power hitter of all of us. Yeah. He would just sail some like over the back fence, and like we'd maybe lose a couple tennis balls.
I always would do that when we played tennis. I would That's every fun. Time I played tennis in camp.
Yeah.
That's the point.
We used
well,
to,
the point is to keep it in bounds
when
and
you're
score.
Playing tennis at recess, you're just launching them over the fence.
We got in trouble at summer camp because the kids who were not like tennis players, what we would do is like they would line us up and they go, all right, forward hand, backhand. And so you would do forward hand, then you do your backhand, then you do, all right, drop shot. And then the last thing they would do is they're like, all right, we're going to hit a shot. You run back and you hit, try to hit it over the net. And then you hit it, and you run back, and the kids who like didn't play tennis
would just wind
would
up,
would just like plant, wind up, and you'd hear them go, "Fish, don't do it," and you crank it the fuck out of there, and you would just laugh.
I recess.
We weren't allowed to play at one
recess
point.
In middle school. We had some tennis courts, and yeah. We had a nice old man who was the head tennis coach, and his name was Coach Hines. And you know, he was always so jazzed and pumped that like the kids.
Naeem.
The kids would want to come out to the tennis court to play tennis during recess, right?
Yeah.
And so we'd go out there and, like, it'd be all fun, and we'd grab our tennis rackets because they had a shit ton. I had a bunch of balls. And literally the entire time, we're just launching them over the fence, and every time it's, quit hitting the balls over.
Little guy. We had a guy, Coach Muscarella, and he was, like, this, like, he's a Boston guy. And one time there was a food fight in the cafeteria, and he goes, "Yo, you guys want to throw food?" And he stuck a fork against some kid's neck. Isn't that wild?
That did not happen.
I swear to God, it was a plastic fork, not a metal fork. But he stuck it again, against my friend Tommy's neck. And he's like, "No more throwing
it,
food."
It impaled his neck.
I don't know.
Did he continue to work at the school?
What?
Did he continue?
Yeah, it was when we were freshmen. He's still there. The guy could do it, whatever.
God, I love New York.
He was like, yeah. He had a 6-year old kid when we were seniors in high school, and he'd be like, he's making him do pull ups and push ups already. Mm. It's like Jesus, training some kind of Habib over there.
Any
other sports? Want to throw?
Anything in the NFL that piques your interest?
I feel like we could cover it for next show. To be honest,
yeah.
Nothing. No need to get ahead.
Taz Bryan on the practice squad.
There was one quick little thing that CC Sabathia said recently.
It's too early to tell. I think you had a good point.
So
on that. Yeah.
He came out and said, was it on a podcast? I don't even know what he said it, but CC Sabathia, great football expert, said that Tua Tagovailoa will be the Philip Rivers to Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, meaning Tua won't win a championship. There are going to be great quarterbacks, all three of them, but the other two will get their championships and Tua won't.
I don't even know how you know that.
There's no way to know that, obviously, because all three of them are in pretty similar situations with the franchise, right? They're all young teams that aren't really, you know, threats right now to make any noise this season. But it's their first season. They all been playing really well. Tua plays for the first time this weekend, so we'll see how he does. But way too early to tell.
Pretty tough matchup.
I think
if I were starting in the NFL, my first game of my career, I would not want Aaron Donald to be lined up on the line against me.
I think it's a bad time to get. They are off the bye week. That's why they're doing it.
Right.
But I think they're 3-3. They're competitive with Fitzpatrick, and I think he gives them the best chance to win. And I think throwing him in there against Aaron Donald's a bit of a shit show. But needless to say,
but that's anyone who,
trial like, by fire.
But he's gonna look like a genius if they get it done. So.
Well, no, they're good. I think the Dolphins are like a decent team.
Yeah, and I think the Chargers are a decent team too.
I think both teams are better than
the Bengals aren't that bad either. They're at least competitive.
It's hard to say. If I were to put my money on it, I would say that the Bengals would be the team not to win a championship. I think that organization usually stinks on ice.
Okay,
I
like the Dolphins draft capital what they got going.
I think the Dolphins get it done. Well, the Dolphins have...
Plus Miami's fun.
I think that the Dolphins have the best head coach.
Yeah.
I think they have the best, like, down-the-line thinking in as far as planning goes. I would give the edge to them. I think that the talent right now, you got to love what the Chargers have on defense.
They're the closest out of the three right now.
I just think they're the biggest head coach issue.
Well, biggest head coach issue, but in terms of talent, in terms of experience, you know, they've got weapons. They've got guys like Keenan Allen on the defense.
Two excellent pass rushers that we know you need to be a super competitive
team. Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, and when Derwin James gets healthy, you got an all-pro safety. You got to, you know, got good corners in Casey Hayward and Chris Harris as well. The line has issues, but I mean, when they get healthy, I mean, you got Brian Bulaga and Trey Turner, they're supposed to come back, and Mike Pouncey is supposed to come back, and you got Eckler who's injured. So it's just all injuries.
Yeah.
But their team, I think, is the most talented and most established, and they're ready to win now. If Herbert can, you know, actually make the jump And I mean, he's playing great ball. I mean, I think right now he might be the favorite to win Rookie of the Year on betting sites.
What is he on? He's on pace to throw like 4,800 yards or something like that.
Yeah, so and he missed Burrow's, the first game.
So is Burrow. Right.
They're both led. It's going to be a two horse.
Burrow's hit 300 yards the last four games.
Fire. It's going to be them too. It's going to be a two horse race. I think James Robinson will get some nods as well at running back, but
Justin Jefferson too. He's been great.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It's been a tremendous year for rookies.
Yeah. Always, I feel like the guys are getting class. Yeah, it's getting better and better.
But to my point, Chargers I think are the closest.
Yeah,
I think the Dolphins have the best future lined up, and I think the Bengals. It's just hard to say. Just the poor ran organization.
I wouldn't have said though, even as much as you guys know that I love Joe Burrow, I would not have expected them to be this competitive this quickly in all these games. Yeah. Like they are really this was a Browns team that's what 5-2
and they aren't a really like sexy team. Like I mean their running backs are you know up and down. Their defense is like okay. I mean their receivers like AJ Green like is literally like, in a wheelchair every time he goes out.
First of all, AJ Green's looked good his past two games.
He has not looked great.
He's had two back-to-back good games.
The start of the season, he did not look great.
No.
Two games, though.
But he's back. He was hurt. He was out all last year. Yeah. Let him get his sea legs.
We're in week 8 now, dude.
Yeah, but it took Gronk a couple weeks to get going. It's going to take guys who haven't played in a year plus to get going. New quarterback. Look, the Bengals, they blew that game against y'all with that missed field goal. They barely lost to the Browns the first time.
They tied
the Eagles. They beat the Jaguars. They got creamed by the Ravens. They came back and played a good game, which they were winning a majority of the time against the Colts, and they played the Browns to the very end. Baker had to have the best game of his career to beat them.
Yeah.
I think they are a poorly ran franchise. I think they need help on the offensive line and help on the defense. Fortunately, they have a losing record. They'll have a shot at Sewell, who's clearly the best offensive tackle in the class.
This looks like to be their first-round pick that's actually going to pan out. I've been a long time. I mean, John Ross didn't pan out.
That was horrible.
Dequez Dennard didn't pan out.
Yeah.
Who did they take the year before or last year?
Last year,
offensive lineman.
They took with the kid from Alabama kid. Why am I blanking on his name? But he was hurt all last year.
Right.
So he was out.
T. Higgins was a good second round pick.
That's a great pick.
Jonah Williams. They took Jonah last Williams. Year. Jonah Williams. Yeah. T. Higgins was a great second pick. So they took Jonah Williams last year, but he was hurt all last year. So he's got to kind of come back.
To your point, Nick, they've got a lot of work to do on the defensive side. Billy Price hasn't panned out.
He was a first round pick. Yeah. I mean,
For the next couple of years, an electric offense, like the Cardinals. I mean, the Cardinals have some defensive playmakers, but
Isaiah Simmons is gonna be good.
Yeah, and they've got Buda Baker. They've got Patrick Peterson.
Buda Baker's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He's unbelievable.
Top three safety.
Unfortunately, yeah, Chandler Jones is out, but we'll see.
A bummer for them.
It's a big bummer for us. All right, guys, really fun show. Fans out there, drag both feet and bounce. We're on a full count. Rip that puck. Hit that putt. Hit your PKs because they free. Hit your free throws. Why, Nick?
Nick, what?
Nick.
Nick.
Nick. How come?
Because Nick. Because they're free.
Because they're free. We out here. We love you.
We sitting here. I'm supposed to be the franchise player. And we in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. You believe in Bellicose? Yes! High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it.
Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.